Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Friday, July 8th, 2016. With me today, I have Brian Chaffin. How's it going, Brian?
You know, it's going well, especially, I mean, you've nailed that whole beat thing that I put into the music. Like, you know, you stop speaking, boom, and then you start speaking again. You know, you nailed it. You got it right where I wanted it.
I'm so glad that you're happy by the introduction. and you know, when I'm out of town at a conference or whatever, and then you cover for me and do the show and mess it up.
And I mess it up.
Every single time?
Every single time, and I'm the one that designed the entire scheme and put together the music, yeah.
But I believe in you, and I believe that someday, even if only by chance, you're going to get it right.
Nope. Maybe. Repetition is key for me.
Yeah, well.
And you know, I end up hosting for you, you know, once in a blue moon.
True. Yeah, but, you know, the fact that you can appreciate my ability to keep the beat, that means a lot.
Sausage, folks, here it is being made.
That's right. And on a completely unrelated note, our sponsor this week is Casper, which is pretty awesome.
And I love my Casper.
Me too. I really love my Casper. We'll have some time to wax poetic about Casper shortly, but first I want to talk about this complaint that's turned into a petition to get Apple to stop using the practice of planned obsolescence for their products. So apparently a bunch of people are upset that their older iPhones can't run the latest version of iOS as efficiently as newer iPhones do.
Yeah, that's I have very little empathy for this sort of complaint, and I never have.
Yeah, you know, so this piece talking about this latest petition, I found it on Computer Business Review, and I read through the whole piece looking for the kicker that would make me think, oh yeah, there's a legitimate complaint here. But I never saw it. It just feels like people don't like that eventually technology passes them by.
I'm not gonna personally ding the piece, which was a fairly factual recitation of complaints and facts.
Sure.
It's and what they're covering is a petition on someofus.org, which is a often progressive, certainly corporate watchdoggy kind of petition site where people can you know get the grievance on, and that petition has 150,000 people who have signed on to it, all complaining that Apple is deliberately pushing out these updates that make their old devices unusable.
All right, so. Do you think that Apple is intentionally creating versions of iOS to hobble old devices and make people not want to use them?
No, I think that Apple is supporting old hardware better than anybody else on the planet. That's what I think is going on here. And this isn't an issue in the Android world where very few devices ever get updated ever.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Apple has a long and storied history of supporting very old hardware across the Mac and iOS product lines, both.
That's true. Go ahead.
With the newest and greatest, latest and greatest operating system, that was all.
Yeah, and I was going to say, if you look at the iPad as an example, we're on the iPad Mini 4, and this iOS 10 will be the first time that an iPad Mini has been dropped from iOS support. So the first generation iPad Mini. won't run iOS 10.
If I mean, you know, at the same time, I know that there are people who legitimately feel, who absolutely legitimately feel like their device has just become way too slow when they've upgraded to a new operating system. You know, the people who were on the trailing end, tail end. This has been a long week.
It has been a long week. But you know what, Brian? We're both troopers because we're still here.
We are. Yes, we are. The tail end there of the oldest hardware that any given update is supporting. There are people who legitimately feel like they run the update. They're told to run the update. Apple always says run these updates, and then they feel like their devices are slow. This is. The only solution here is for Apple to not support that generation of product.
Right. And then that's a different issue that people complain about because they'll feel that Apple is dropping support for products too quickly, forcing them to upgrade.
Exactly. Yeah. Then I can't even run. It's a damned if you do and damned if you don't situation for Apple. And I think Apple should actually get lots of credit for supporting these older devices. With the possible exception, like, I mean, for iOS 9, didn't we actually have some features that just didn't work on the older devices?
Right.
And, you know, maybe that's a good way for Apple to approach this. But you know, when it, God, Apple does such a good job of supporting older hardware, people complaining about it, I don't have a lot of empathy for it. I don't.
You know, I don't have much empathy for that either. And I've even encountered people over the years, like just recently, but I'll say in the last 5 years, who are angry that Apple doesn't support AppleWorks.
Right.
Yeah, and for those of you that have no idea what I'm talking about, AppleWorks was Apple's productivity suite
from in the 90s.
Yeah. And it was eventually replaced with the iWorks apps. And of course, Apple doesn't support software that's 20 years old.
Apple could support the file format, though.
You can open, I think, the latest version of AppleWorks files, you can still open. Mm-hmm. They don't convert very well, but you can get at the content.
Right. So, you know, I don't know. I think this is one of those situations where it doesn't matter what Apple's going to do. There's going to be a subset of its customer base that is going to be unhappy with the result. I mean, I think that Apple should get the credit for supporting stuff. And I also wonder, by the way, you know, Apple's processors took such a giant leap forward with probably the A5X, but certainly with the A6.
Mm-hmm.
What's in the 4S?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't recall off the top of my head. But
actually,
Mac Tracker can tell us. Do you have that handy?
A6 was in the iPhone 5.
Okay.
So that would make the 5X and the 4S.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if we're not going to see better, like, once the iPhone 5 becomes the oldest generation supported, I wonder if we won't see fewer complaints, because that was a pretty significant step up. And the A7 and the A8 and the A9 have all been very, very hefty processors.
Mm-hmm.
As Apple was getting its chip design on.
Right. And as of now for iOS, Apple supports, I believe it's the A5 and forward. And that's when we started to see significant changes in the processors.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we'll start seeing fewer complaints as older devices drop off.
Yeah, but again, you know, this is like, there's always going to be someone who's unhappy with the results. People who are upset because They can't update, or people who are upset because they did update and their devices are running slower than they wish.
Or they don't have a feature that is part of the newest operating system because their device is too old.
Yeah. And I mean, there is a difference between planned obsolescence and a company, an operating system manufacturer, or an operating system maker designing new and wonderful features that simply need more horsepower than an older device can provide. There's a world of difference there, and there's always going to be that line of, should Apple support that last generation of device, or should Apple bring those features to more users and let them get more use out of their device. But
I'm okay with Apple erring on the side of supporting older devices for a longer period of time.
But is that fair for us to say? Because, because of our jobs, we always end up getting the newest stuff. So this is really an issue for us. We're sitting here pontificating on a thing that doesn't really affect the two of us.
Well, it can at times. Here's my example. I'm running a 2012 Retina MacBook Pro. And I have not upgraded this to a newer Mac because the changes to the new laptops haven't been significant enough for me to justify dropping, $3,000 on a computer. And so I'm using a computer that in the PC world is ancient. And this is still working fine. Sure, yeah. I'd like it to be faster, but I mean, I'm recording our show right now on a 2012 MacBook Pro.
And my production machine was a 2008 Mac Pro up until the very end of 2015.
So this actually does impact us, Brian.
Well, yeah, it does. That's true. And we actually weren't overly complaining about the results, but there have usually been fewer complaints about this on the Mac side than there have been on the iPhone side.
Yeah, well, I think on the iPhone side, because we're getting new devices at a faster pace, or an apparent faster pace.
Well, Apple is usually, with the exception of the Mac Pro, and don't even get me started, but Apple upgrades its Macs once a year.
Oh, that's true. Okay, so let me rephrase that. Because people are more inclined to upgrade their mobile devices at a faster pace.
Oh yeah, that's good. That's a very good point, man.
Yeah, I think that's why we're seeing more complaints here than we are on the Mac side. All right, so it sounds like we're in agreement that petitions like this aren't valid. That's not a fair thing to say, because they're very valid to the people that feel they've been slighted by Apple.
Yeah, I think there are some people who were legitimately upset, and I think that I absolutely don't want to belittle those people who genuinely feel like their device has been made unusable by an update that Apple told them to run. It keeps coming back to the fact that this is kind of a no-win situation for Apple. There's going to be a subset of people who are going to be unhappy with whatever Apple does.
That's true. All right. Well, then if they're going to be damned, they might as well be damned for making it possible for people to use devices longer.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm glad we've got that resolved. So let's talk about mattresses.
Okay.
Brian, our sponsor this week has been Casper, the mattress company, and they make wonderful mattresses. I know we both really like ours. And if you haven't slept on a Casper mattress yet, well, I'm sorry, because you're really missing out. What they did was they figured out how to put together latex foam and memory foam. So they sandwich it together in the right way with the right ratios so that you get a bed that supports you but doesn't feel too firm, and you don't sink and sag into it, and you don't get stuck in a position, and you don't overheat. And it's like someone really figured out how people want to sleep in a bed and then designed a bed that does that. And that's what Casper is. So they make really high quality mattresses, and they make them for less than you're going to pay at other places. And this is because they don't have a warehouse or showroom floor. So they just ship you a mattress. They don't have to deal with the overhead that goes along with having to hold all the extra inventory for a showroom and leasing space and all that. So, you know, that's really great. And their mattresses, when they show up, it's awesome. They come in these boxes where you think you ordered the wrong size because it's too small.
So true.
And when mine showed up, I was pretty sure that I had been shipped a twin bed. And was disappointed because I have a queen size frame. So I pull it out of the box, and I was certain that they're using Time Lord technology because the mattress is bigger than the box it fits in. And I laid it out, and about 5 minutes later, after it was done kind of stretching out and expanding up, I was good to go. And I could take a nap if I wanted to, which sounds like a really good idea. Anyhow, so you really need to go check out their mattresses because they're fantastic. And I say that as someone that's been sleeping on one for a couple of years now. Go to their website, casper.com/TDO, and use the discount code TDO. And that's going to get you $50 off your mattress. So you get your mattress shipped to you, no shipping charges. You get $50 off. And you get a really good mattress out of this, too. So I have the queen size, $850 with a discount, $800. And they have other sizes also. So, you know, the other sizes you might need for whatever you want. And they don't have a mattress that's over $1,000. The king size is $950. So excellent deal, excellent mattress. Go to their website, casper.com/TDO. Use this discount code TDO and get yourself an awesome mattress. And we'll be sleeping together vicariously. It'll be great. Okay, so Brian, yesterday I talked a little bit about iOS 10 public beta and macOS public beta coming out. And it occurs to me that not everyone knows how they can actually get these on their devices if they want to try them out. So we should dive into that real quick before we wrap up.
Yeah, that is a very good idea because I know a lot of people want to get their hands on this beta.
Yeah, and I don't blame them because I'm really happy with it so far. And okay, so the deal is if you want to run iOS 10 public beta or macOS Sierra public beta on any of your devices, first make sure you back up because you don't want to lose any important data. And to go along with that, don't put these on the devices that you have to rely on every day. So if you have only one iPhone and you need that iPhone for making your calls and staying in contact with your friends, your family, your business, whatever, you probably don't want to put the beta on there. Even though it's likely going to run fine, it's a beta. Things are going to break. Things aren't going to work right. And you don't want to risk having your phone not work. So pick another device like an iPad, or if you have an old iPhone, stick it on that and go that route. Same thing for macOS Sierra. Put it on an extra computer, set up an external hard drive for your main computer and install it on that. And these are ways that you can protect your important data and the things that you need to use every single day. And but then once you've got that done, all you need to do is go to Apple's public beta website, and I'll have a link to all this in the show notes. And you from there you add your device to the beta program, and on iOS you're given a configuration file, so it downloads to your iOS device, and then the beta shows up as a software update. So you do settings, general, software update, and there it is. And then on the Mac, what'll happen is you'll be given a redemption code, but then also a button that says redeem code. You click that, and it takes you to the App Store where the beta downloads and then installs. And then from that point forward, all your updates that you get for new versions of the beta will show up as a regular software update for you. So it's a pretty simple process. And if you listen to yesterday's Apple Context Machine, you'll hear Brian and me talking about just how much I'm really liking the beta so far. So I'll include a link to that too. Did I hit all the important parts, Brian?
Yeah, I think so. I guess the real question here is, I mean, and you mentioned the caveat about not putting this on a production machine.
Mm-hmm.
But the question is, I mean, should people do it now or should they wait?
You know,
there's going to be additional public betas.
There'll be additional public betas. If you want to start experiencing the new operating systems now, go ahead and install them. They both seem pretty stable to me. And there are features that you'll come across periodically where you wonder why they don't work. It's because they're just not working yet. But they're working. And I'm not going to use them as primary production machines, but yeah, I'm totally fine telling people if they want to play with this and they have a device they can pop it on, give it a shot.
I'm gonna believe it or not, I'm gonna take a slightly more cautious approach. The desire, there are some people, of course, who have zero desire to play with the latest and greatest. They much prefer and are much happier with other people, other dorks like us. You know, doing the testing for them.
Let us rush in where angels fear to tread.
Exactly, and they're fine with that. But there are certainly a lot of people who really want that latest and greatest thing. The Apple's public beta process is fairly solid.
Mm-hmm.
But it is still very much a public beta process. The geekier you feel you are, the more comfortable you are dealing with problems,
mm-hmm.
probably is going to translate into the geekier you are, the earlier you will probably be comfortable participating in Apple's public beta. If you feel like you want to be geeky, but you know you're not quite there, wait a while.
Mm-hmm.
You know, get public beta 2 or public beta 3.
Right, and we are on public beta 1 right now, which is the same thing as developer beta 2.
Close to the same thing. Probably the same thing.
I think they are the same thing. That will change very soon because the developer betas roll out much faster. So my guess is that within a week, I will be running on my iPad mini a version of the beta that the public isn't using yet, which is okay. It's my job is to rush in where angels fear to tread. Yours isn't.
Yeah, exactly. Just know that this could cause you problems. If you're not comfortable with dealing with those problems,
then don't do this.
Yeah, wait. What, you know, or wait for a couple of versions. Just wait for the final release. It's only a few months from now.
Right, yeah. Apple is saying this fall, and with their previous track record, that means September.
Now, I'll be honest. I'm pretty geeky, and I'm comfortable dealing with problems, but every one of my devices is actually a production device, and I am not running the public betas yet. And I cannot wait to get my hands on iOS 10 and Sierra and watchOS 3. I so want all of these.
Oh, I know.
But I don't have a device that I can experiment with yet. So I am personally waiting only out of safety, not because of fear.
Well, I totally get that. And so you can experience macOS Sierra and iOS 10 vicariously through me. I'm totally fine with that.
I have an iPad Air that I'll probably put iOS 10 public beta 2 on. I think I will risk that one.
Okay, that seems like a reasonable compromise for you.
Yeah, no way I could do Sierra. I don't have enough of the just to sort of walk people through my process. If I had the hard drive space, I would put it on a partition that I then would hardly ever get to.
Sure,
because that's how I work. But I don't have the hard drive space for a partition. I don't have any desire to even try to bother doing it from an external drive. And both of my current Macs are absolutely production machines between my day job and my novel efforts.
Yeah. So you need to wait.
Yeah. I have to wait.
All right. Well, I'll let you know what I like and don't like. How's that sound?
Word. Sounds good.
All right. Well, with that, we're out of time, Brian.
Mm-hmm.
So thanks for making the time to join me today.
Yeah, absolutely. It's good times.
Yes, it is. And Casper, thank you for being our sponsor this week.
Head over. Thank you for making mattresses.
Oh, no kidding. I do love my Casper mattress. Go over to their website, casper.com/TDO, and then use the discount code TDO. Get yourself $50 off your mattress, and you're going to be so happy with this. I'm certain of it because I'm so happy with mine. And listeners, thank you for joining us. We'll see everyone again on Monday.